Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Yep.
It's hello.
How's everybody doing? Yeah, I heard that. Everybody said good. We're fine. Welcome to Christian Talk Radio. I'm your host, we're your hosts, really, T. Meyer and Tasila, TNT. We are here. And we're going to have a really good program for you today. So everybody just stay cool, stay calm. I know that you're excited. So are we. But before I do anything else and before you do anything else, send somebody in your family a text, a family or friend, and tell them to dial in 646-668-8537. You don't want to miss this program. Tell them to dial in. Or if they're on their computer, tell them to go to Facebook. And if they see the post for tonight's program, then tell them to just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila. You might see it on Facebook, Tumblr, or Twitter. Doesn't matter. If you see it and we're posting tonight's program and you see the face of T. Meyer and Tasila, just click on that picture and you can hear the whole program from your computer anytime during the program or even after the program, a few days after the program. If you missed it, you can still click on our picture and listen to the entire program. Isn't that wonderful? I think it's good.
Yay, I do too.
Hooray, hooray. Okay, but before we do anything else, wait a minute. I can hear it. It's coming. It's coming. About that time. What is it? It's time for a T and T moment. That's a T Meyer and Tasila moment. So we just got to see what's happening this time. Pastor Tasila, what do you have for today?
Well, I'll tell the audience this. I'm not sure always why sometimes God operates when he gives us stuff. Sometimes he gives it to us before it even happens. And sometimes he waits until after it happens and then starts unveiling it to us. And sometimes he just gives us a little bit at a time along the way.
Yeah.
Because he knows, I think the Lord knows that we're all fragile and we're not God, but he has given us many, like the seven spirits of him and his gifts, and so we operate in them, but sometimes the Lord don't tell us everything at the same time. He gives us, and matter of fact, there's a scripture that talks about that. It says, behold, thus saith the Lord, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel. for they will learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more. So, and that's another reason. That's another reason why God doesn't tell us everything all the time. I remember I had a friend who was complaining about, why did Lord, he tells me a lot, but he didn't tell me or show me this. Well, sometimes we're not the Lord, and he can't just tell us things all the time. He can't reveal everything. So, you know, I began to inquire to the Lord. I said, Lord, what is going on that the entire earth is under attack? And I'm watching two men on the TV, suited and booted, instructing us on what to do to protect ourselves. But one of them was shorter than the other one. And the Lord began to uncover the shorter man as a true snake. And boy, if I said that to somebody, they would say, who? He's on the TV every day. How could he be with the snake? And then as I cried out to the Lord, I said, Lord, from whence cometh this massive enemy against your people? And he said, he gave me this scripture in Deuteronomy. And he replied back to me, he said, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. So then I knew that this was crimes against humanity by the hands of men under the Luciferian regime. So, you know, a lot of times people are like, what's going on? It's crimes going against humanity. And Satan can't operate unless he uses man. But, you know, it's under his regime.
That's right.
I can assure you that God is not interested in death. That is not what he came for. He said he came that you might have life and have it more.
Amen.
And even in Luke 20, he said he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. And this whole COVID agenda has the enemy stamped all over it. And I understand why a lot of people don't see this is the regime of the Luciferians that have risen up. And you got to wake up, church, wake up. I'm ringing the bell, wake up. And we got to know who we serve, how our God is, you know. Our God, he's the one true living God. And it goes beyond simply acknowledging that he exists. He is the unceasing, unending life. His goodness can't fade. He even swallowed up death. He said, death, where's your sting? Because he knew when we even, you could take this flesh and destroy it, but he knew we were going to be in his presence immediately.
Amen.
And he said, so death, where's your sting, you know? But I want people to be asleep. So then I noticed, the mud began to sling from the Wuhan to the United States. Fingers was pointing back and forth. Everybody was saying it was you. No, it's you. And when the little man that was the short man, it was him that was the creator all along. The one who says, take it off. No, put it back on. No, take it off again. That's a very dangerous individual. And he even made
a
statement in 15. He was the creator of it all. And he made a statement in 20. You say that to some people, they'll go, no, because they're asleep. You gotta wake up. You gotta let God give you a little here and a little there. You gotta wake up. And he made a 2015 statement that even if one of the scientists accidentally got infected with the virus and spreaded it to at least 40,000 people, he would have seceded. But seceded in what way? Well, you heard of the World Wide Web. You heard www. Well, this is the globalization. And Revelations 13 talks about it. It says it was great worldwide distress at that time. Then Satan rises up like a beast, and no man could buy or sell except they that had the mark, globalization is a unification under one world order or government.
Mm-hmm.
And what you are witnessing with your own eyes is a stage set for the Antichrist. And that's when Christ will return.
Right.
So don't get upset. Just ride with it. Ride on. Ride in the Holy Spirit. Don't let this thing get you upset. And don't even join forces with the enemy under the pretense of unification. And without Jesus, the King of Kings, there is no unity. We are united by the Holy Spirit of God and no other spirit, not under this false fake demon get together without Christ. And don't be fooled out there. Father, you are still wise. Stay alert. Something very powerful fell into my inbox from the internet from 2012 before the virus hit. From a true prophet of God, and I'm just putting it out there. But pray about it, you know. Don't just ask the Lord to give you understanding.
Right.
Don't just take what I say or Pastor T or anybody else. Go into your prayer closet and give it to the Lord, because this is a very planned, thought-out mistake. That's what I'm telling you. Still, because God has something to do about it. He's not going to leave it like it is. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. So don't think the Lord is just going to allow this to just roll. But anyway, this is the thing that the vision that this lady had, and I just want to read it to you, and she had it in 2012. She said, I personally had a vision about the book of Revelation, chapter 9, where I saw millions of demons coming out of the abyss with syringes, stings in their hands, and forcing substance upon people, which would damage their organs with great pain. Spiritually, they wore golden crowns. You know, corona means crown, which are the exaltation of the scientific mind, and their faces were like me, saying that the spirits that she saw, they looked just like regular humans.
Mm-hmm.
They appeared humanitarian, but were murderers. They made much noise with their lying advertisement on TV and through every media source, making people addicted to medications they never required or that will not heal them either. They had breastplates. They were protected by governments and insurance companies. Their end is not to heal, but to destroy, because its leader is Apollyon, the destroyer. And I saw how God judged what I just said. God will judge. What you say, Pastor Jesus?
Oh, absolutely. The Lord is going to judge. I'm going to read that prophecy again, and then we're going to break it down a little. Okay? We're going to read it and break it down a little.
Because I know a lot of people want to hear it.
Let me get it straight. Sister Tasila, you said that she had this vision in 2012, right?
2012.
Yes. 2012. Okay, so she had no idea of the things taking place right now in 2020. Okay, so let's read it again. I personally had a vision about the book of Revelation chapter 9, where I saw millions of demons coming out from the abyss. Now, let's go ahead and read chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, this is the releasing of demons on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Satan released demons to witness the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's why it got so dark at that time. Remember when scripture said how dark it got?
Yep.
Because
he
had released demons to witness the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Here Satan is doing it again. And there came out of the smoke, I'm still reading from Revelation 9, verses 2 and 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Locusts upon the earth. and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Power was given to these demons. Who do you think gave them power? Think about it. She said in her vision, she continued on in her vision, she said that they had syringes, which scripture calls them stings. They were stingers. She said they were forcing substance upon the people. Now, doesn't that sound familiar today? We have mandates on us. When they jab you or inject you, it is just as deadly as a scorpion sting. The government is forcing substance inside of people, and no one but the government, scientists, chemists for Big Pharma, and the World Health Organization, you know, WHO, WHO, only they know what's really in it. And some of that information has been leaked out by their own chemists, scientists, and doctors. They are mixing a lot of other things in these vaccinations, things that help them identify you and track you down. Yes, there is a chip inside of these vaccines. I know that most of you don't believe it, and you think I'm crazy, you know, and I lost it. But first of all, but just, you know, just think about it and do some research. Understand what COVID-19 really means. Here's what it means. It means Certificate of Vaccination Identification. -AI, 19 stands for AI, which means artificial intelligence, because this vaccine has things in it. There are things in these vaccines that put things, you know, these vaccines are putting things in your DNA. It's trying to change your DNA. Why is Satan doing this? Because he's after the incorruptible seed that God has placed in us. He wants to change your DNA. Even Fauci admitted that aborted baby parts was in one of the popular vaccines. At least we discovered that. One of the popular vaccines that many of you have already taken. Some of you that's listening, you may have already taken it. I heard him admit it with my own ears, so I'm not speaking hearsay. I heard him admit this. Continuing, you may even ask, why would they do this? Why would they do all of this? They created the coronavirus to control the population on Earth. That's why it was created. Every time they do these vaccinations, they experiment with them. They always start with the more poverty-stricken nations. If you notice that, they always go to Africa or some other poverty-stricken nation or in lower-income areas in every state. Here in the United States and all over, they look at the lower-income areas filled with black people or Hispanics, you know, whatever. But they always go to these areas first and experiment. Let's continue. She said this substance was damaging. It was damaging organs with great pain. This is exactly what's happening today. Your organs are being damaged, although some of you may not be feeling any pain at all right now. Right now. Let's continue. She said spiritually they wore golden crowns, which are the exaltation of the scientific mind, exalting the scientific mind. That's so funny how scientists name, you know, they name their man-made virus, the coronavirus, like you said, Sister Tasila, you said that corona means crown, and it does.
Mm-hmm.
The crown virus, the king virus. Mm-hmm. Verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. She said their faces mm-hmm. was like her. Their faces was like her, like normal-looking people. She said mm-hmm. they appeared humanitarian, but they were murderers. They appeared mm-hmm. humanitarian. See how they're appealing to the people on all of these, on the media and all that. They're appealing to the people, making them think that they're so good. Take this vaccine. It's so good. This government is trying to start a new world religion as well as a one world government. This religion is called humanitarianism, a mixture of all religions that have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, but everything to do with these governments trying to take the place of God. Open your eyes, Christians. These governments of the world and these billion-dollar organizations and secret societies that back them want the people to look to them for deliverance. That's why many of the people, including Christians, is looking for the government. Yes, we want this vaccine. You are our deliverer. What happened to Jesus?
Hallelujah.
They want the people to look to them to be their gods. Their stingers of their armies were syringes, an army of chemists, scientists with military backing. Verse 5, and to them, we're still in Revelation 9 now, verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. So in other words, so take this injection and then wait for 6 months or so and then take a booster, putting more poison in you. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And it says striketh. That means continually strike a man. That's how that torment is. This mess is deadly. You can't feel it now, but you will feel it later unless you call on the name of the Lord right now, our great healer. You may have said, okay, I took this shot. Oh, now what am I supposed to do? Call on the name of the Lord and ask him not to go and let that poison not go any further. Call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord, you said if we drink any deadly thing, it would not hurt us. So call on the name of the Lord and ask him to take all this poison out of you. That's what you do. All right, let's continue. She goes on to say, they made much noise with their lying advertisement on TV and through every media source, making people addicted to medication that they never required or that would not heal them either. The government has never promoted vaccinations. And just think about it. The government has never promoted vaccinations as much as they are promoting this one. It is because they created the coronavirus, which is the king virus, which gives them a chance to legally track your every move with the substance within the vaccine and the help of 5G. Okay? Once again, Pastor T-Bar is crazy, but take it to the Lord and think about this. Don't just wipe it out or just shove it off. She goes on to say, they had breastplates. They were protected by governments and insurance companies. Verse 9, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They were an army. The government has released an army out here, an army of scientists and chemists, and even having the military to back them if we don't obey. Their end, goes on to continue, their end is not to heal, but to destroy, because its leader is Apollyon, the destroyer. They're not looking forward to healing anybody. They want to destroy because they want to control the population. The destroyer, verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Satan is the leader who comes to only kill, steal, and destroy. The government is going, the government is doing Satan's bidding. But fear not, everybody. Fear not, because we are to do God's bidding. Keep in mind that Jesus overcame the world. He overcame the world, and we will overcome the world also, as long as we believe in him, really believe in him, and stand on his word. Recognize Jesus as our deliverer and our healer, not mankind. Don't put your trust in all of that. Men are liars. They're being governed by demonic spirits. Don't move, and don't be persuaded. Stay in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Remember what God said he would do if we stay in his secret place. Psalm 91, verse 3. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, all of Satan's little tricks, and from the noisome pestilence, all of these sicknesses and diseases. The Lord will keep us, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sicknesses and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon you. The evil diseases of Egypt, Egypt means the world. It represents the world. And even in our time, Egypt represents the world. None of the sicknesses in the world, those sicknesses that we are aware of, the ones we know, he won't put those upon us, but will lay them upon all of those that hate him and that hate you because you represent them. He's going to turn the tide. He's going to turn it all around. These sicknesses and all of this is going to be put on the witches, the warlocks, the Satanists, evil spirits.
But he said if you abide, right, if you abide in the secret place.
If you abide in that secret, if you stay with him and be obedient to his word, he will not put these sicknesses on you, but he will turn the tide and put it on those that hate him and hate you. The witches, warlocks, Satanists, evil scientists, chemists, evil governments, and wicked leaders, and those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. So stay strong and believe in the Lord and trust in him. He is your healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is your healer and your deliverer. So
Hallelujah.
Stay with the Lord and call on him.
Amen.
And don't get taken away by the things of men. Just don't do it. Don't be taken away. And the Lord is coming, too, and he's coming in the clouds. Well, that's it for our TNT moment. Send us some feedback after the show or contact us if you have any questions or if you need us to agree with you in prayer, even about this subject matter that we're talking about. We're open. We'll talk to anybody that want to talk about it. So give us a call. You can contact us at ChristianTalkR if you want to send us an email, ChristianTalkR@gmail.com. That's ChristianTalkR@gmail.com. We will reply to you. You can even put your phone number down there and we'll call you, okay? So, all right, don't go away. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our special guest after this. Don't go away.
Broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before you. The sin of the world, his blood breaks the chains. God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord?
Before the lion and the lamb. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, Pastor Cecilia, here we go. Our special guest.
Oh, no. I can't wait.
Our special guest is Pastor Daz Patterson, Associate Pastor of Loveland, you know, over there with the senior pastor, who's Chuck Singleton. Many of you are familiar with Loveland and Pastor Chuck Singleton. Yes. Besides being a pastor, Daz Patterson is an actress, a playwright, a producer, a director, a singer, songwriter, an author, which, by the way, she's currently working on a book, and we hope she'll tell us about that. Daz has devoted her life to spreading the gospel to anyone who will listen. Besides preaching and teaching the word, her plays and musicals and recordings were all messages created to give glory to God the Father and to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone, let's welcome Pastor Daz Patterson. How are you, Daz?
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm blessed.
So good to have you on the program. Praise the Lord. So good.
Thank you and your wife for having me. I'm so blessed.
It's an honor. Honor for us to have you.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.
God, I remember how we first met you. T. Meyer and myself was invited to an audition of one of your plays that you were having.
Yep.
Okay.
This was a long time ago, Dan.
Long
you probably don't even remember this. But yeah, we were invited to one, an audition to one of your plays, and from there you had Rodney Pearson, that was your musical director at the time.
Okay. Okay.
And,
wow.
You remember
awesome.
Rodney?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was way back, right?
And then we
started working with Rodney because he had started his own play that he was doing, and Pastor Tasila and I was working on it. We had auditioned for it.
But
and,
it was an honor to be in there seeing you.
Oh, praise
yeah.
God.
And you came to one of our performances when we started working with Rodney, and it was an honor. I mean, you know, to have you to come, and
oh,
you gave us your feedback, and you know, I mean, this is Dash Patterson who has been doing this for years. I mean, my goodness, how you just write plays like, I mean, I don't know how to even say. How quick
praise,
you,
yeah, how many have you written?
And stuff.
I've actually 14.
Ooh,
14 musical plays. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And
you performed all of them, right?
Yes, I certainly have. Uh-huh.
And directed
and
them all? And.
Yeah,
that was.
I was just gonna say, some are movies. I did like three movies from.
Really?
And I, yes.
Well, I know one of those books you wrote was a movie. I thoroughly enjoyed that book.
The one Through the Storm and Rain.
Was it blue? The cover.
Was it, now I have at least two more coming out.
Right
okay.
now?
Mm-hmm. I have two. Hopefully I'll have them completed by the first of the year.
Oh, okay.
Good. You're still
okay.
writing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still writing.
They're a blessing.
Yeah, I enjoy it. So cathartic for me. Is so cathartic because I let God talk to me through my writing. It's like it's so wonderful to be able to do that because I believe that's one of the things that I was called to do is to put it on paper.
Mm-hmm. I write a lot also, so I understand. I have so many tablets. I don't even have any place to put them.
Yeah,
I said I have so many writings, I don't even really have a place for it. I have to. But, you know, I like writing too.
You need to put them together and make a book.
Exactly.
Or several books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
after you walk with the Lord for 40-something years, you know, a lot of things happen. And, you know, you write a lot, you tell a lot, you share a lot, and sometimes just having it there, you forgot about it. You know, I have journals that I write in also, and you go back and you go like, oh, I forgot that happened. But you know it happened because you can envision it when you're reading it.
Right.
It is. I encourage everybody to get journals and write down your dreams.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Your goals. Yeah.
I have
it
a lot of those. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I have a lot that I have not put out in public because I write almost every chance I get. I enjoy it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gift. That's just a straight-out gift. Tell us, Daz, how did the, were you raised in the church?
Yes, I was raised in the church.
Strong background.
Yes, I was one of those kids that God would talk to And then I tell my parents, you have to see the movie that I wrote about how when I was a kid, how they, you know, how I would tell people I could, you know, God would tell me things and I'd say what God had told me. And all the time it came true. Yeah. And I was a kid. I remember I started doing that at five.
Wow.
Because my mother was crying because my brother had gotten killed in an automobile accident. And she cried all the time after he got killed. And the Lord told me what to go and tell her, and I went and told her in a way that only a child could do that. I went and told my mom. The Lord said, Mom, stop crying, because my brother's name was Stratton. And I said, because he said Stratton went to heaven. And the Lord showed me that Stratton climbed up in a tall sycamore tree, and he knocked on the door, and the Lord let him in. That's how I explained. You know, that's the way God told me. So I
very
explained
simple.
Yeah. At five, you know, I couldn't have understood it had he made it any more complicated. Yeah, so, but this has, you know, been my life. I didn't know what God had for me. I didn't know what God wanted me to do for years. And all the writing, all the things, and I didn't know. And when God showed me what he wanted me to do, then I began to publish my plays and to put them out. And I have them, they're on tape. I have some on tape, some on film. I have, you know, but that's what I was supposed to do, and that's what God has wanted me to do. And the book I'm writing now has to do with things that have happened in the last 15, 20 years, and one being that my husband passed away from COVID February 15th, and we had been married 62 years.
Yeah, you guys were a team.
That's true.
And he really supported you and your vision, and he was right there. And he labored hard for the Lord too with that.
He built all of the sets for the movie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. He was a set builder.
Right. Such a nice man. Really nice guy.
Yeah. He was a hard worker. Very hard worker. Yeah. And, you know, it's really hard. Now it's been 9 months this month. Of course, I'm counting.
But
you know, it's very, very difficult.
It
but
is.
God is seeing me through. If it wasn't for the goodness of the Lord, I don't know what I would
indeed.
Do. Because many things I've been through, I've had, you know, presently going through cancer again. And
Oh, really? Yes,
I'm going through cancer again. And I, you know, I was healed from cancer in 2000. Well, the healing came 2004 is when I was healed. And God showed me that it would be 12 years. And sure enough, it came back 2018. So, but, you know, God has got me. I'm not worried about anything. I'm really not worried. You know, I don't like not having my husband here, but, you know, I got Jesus. I've got God here, and I know he is with me. So, yeah, so I'm good. I'm good. I know that, you know, when it it returned again in 2003, well, when it returned with a vengeance. And that was at the time that they told me I had 3 months to live. And God said no. He gave me a dream that night and showed me that I would not. He gave me a 12, and I didn't fully understand what 12 meant until not too long ago. He told me that I would be healed for 12 years. That's what the 12 was. Yeah. So, and it's back again. And, you know, they don't understand why I'm still here. But God has the last say.
That's right.
So I got work to do. I got things I've got to do. I've got to finish the book.
Right.
I've got this movie I've got to do. I'm doing this movie. I want to do a gospel horror movie because it is a horror for those people who don't know Christ. So
that's true.
Yeah. So I'm doing a gospel horror movie, and I really want to start it probably the first of next year. I have it already written because, as I said, I do write a lot. And I
so
have,
it's already done? It's already written?
Yeah. Yes. I'm just working now on the book.
To match it,
And I have, actually, I have two more books that I have that I've got to finish. But this one in particular, I'm going to finish it. It's called Married, because my husband and I went through marriage. We were separated, divorced, married again. And the church. That's the title of the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Daz, when did you discover that you had this this gift for writing? I mean, when did all of that start?
That actually started, let's see, I was a counselor at Juvenile Hall. Yeah, and I wrote a play for the kids there. That's when it started. And this was like in 19... 79.
Okay.
So that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Over
so
40 years ago. Mm-hmm.
That's when it began. And, you know, I enjoy writing. It's so, as I said before, it's cathartic. It relieves me because oftentimes I'm in a lot of pain still. So it's like it's so relieving of that pain because I'm thinking and I'm able to put down my thoughts. So that makes it so wonderful to me that I can do that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Release it. It's that, like talking to someone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a blessing. So yes. then, how did you get your first production, your very first play that you were getting ready to put on your very first play? How did that come about?
Well, I had finished a play called Talk is Cheap, and there was a lady who heard me sing at my church. She came to visit. And so she asked me if I would tour with her play. So I toured 3 years with her play. And, So when I finished the tour, my play was already finished. What I did is I had to come back and do a few things that I hadn't done, like I had to assign roles. So, So that's what I did. And then we did a little bit of touring with my play, Talk is Cheap. That was the first play that I introduced to California.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And since then, I have done 13. I have 14 plays that I've written. I have two books. I have one book. It's called Why Gospel, and that book is about anyone can use it if they need to write gospel plays. That's a book that one can use to write plays, and it shows how it's done. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Through the Storm and Rain. It talks about my time through cancer, the first experience when I was sure that I was going to die.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so you had a visitation from the Lord, or he just, because how did you get to the 12 years?
Yes, I did. And that's why you guys need to see my movie called That's a shame. I can't remember. You've got to see my movie. The movie is Look, I'm Still Here.
Mm-hmm.
I have a movie.
Okay.
It's not out anymore, but someone asked me to start to put it out on a DVD so they could start buying it. I haven't done that, but it's called Look, I'm Still Here. And it is about what God showed me, what he did because my husband and I, I had separated from my husband, but God told me I could do this, but he gave me specific things that I could not do while I was separated, and I did mm-hmm. everything he told me not to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got tired of me, I had a friend of mine over to my house, and all of a sudden it got dark, and it was thunder. It started thundering, and God spoke in the thunder. People will say, "Oh, you're crazy," but mm-hmm. I know he said, "Go back to your husband."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Oh Lord, anything but that." And he said, "Yes, he did." Because that's exactly what I said. I mean, if you watch the movie, you could see that's what I said. Yeah. So he told me, go back to your husband because you're sinning. And I was like, oh, but Lord, I won't do it. He said, go back now. And see, everybody, oh, God ain't told you to leave your husband. God told me I could go. He said, you can go, but this is what you're not to do. And I did all
mm-hmm.
of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So
he sent you right back.
That's what he did. He sent me right back. And it's so funny. The first time I went to him and I said, God, because our minister of music had asked me if I would minister in song that following Sunday. So I always pray about what I'm going to sing. I don't just come out and start singing. So mm-hmm. I prayed about it, and God told me, how about he looks beyond my fault and saw my need?
Oh, I love that song. Was it Vanessa Bell Armstrong's version?
Amazing grace shall always mm-hmm. be my song of praise. That one.
Yeah.
Buddy, it was.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Okay, that one. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
he said, how about that song? I said, okay, Lord. I'll do that song. And he gave me what to say before I began singing it, and I had to let them know why I was singing that song. And because
mm-hmm.
I had gone to God and I told God, I said, Lord, you had me come back to this man, and he did so-and-so, and he did so-and-so, and God said, you ain't so good either.
That is really interesting, because there's so many people that I know that's in limbo with that, you know. They've already setting up for a divorce, and they got a few things packed in the garage. And
oh, well, you know, first of all, people, unfortunately, people in the church will tell you, girl, you better not leave your husband. And one of the things that they have to remember is that you belong to God.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
God allowed me to do that, but
mm-hmm.
he gave me specific no-nos. You are not to do this. You're not to do that. You're not to befriend any other man. Your husband is still your husband. You are not to, you know, those things like that.
Yeah, because you were separated, not divorced.
Separated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, okay, Lord, I was just trying to get out. And then he told me, okay, go back to your husband. And he told me, here's the thing, I was having company at my house. And it was one of my male friends. It was a male friend. Mm-hmm. And so we're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden it gets dark and it starts thundering. And this voice, I heard this voice, go back to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy heard the voice, but he didn't know what it said, what God said.
And you said,
and
did you hear that?
Exactly. He said, Des, I'm leaving. I'm going. And I'm still your friend, but I'm gonna get out of here. I know God said something. It was so comical later, but anyway, so I called and say, hey, do you still want me back? And he said, oh yeah, I'll come and get you right now. I said, no, give me time to talk some more to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I you know, I did that, and it was still go back. So
yeah.
I didn't question anything else. I went back, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do.
Yeah,
so
this time I'll be sweeter.
This time I will be obedient to you, Lord,
mm-hmm.
and do mm-hmm. what you want me to do. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I did. And that was that 2.5 year split that we had. I had actually mm-hmm. I had actually divorced him just about 3 months before God told me that. I had actually gotten a divorce.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
And then the Lord said, go back.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So I said, okay. And I went back. And, hey,
all I see is how much God really loves you.
Oh, praise.
And, you know, that's really beautiful that he loved you enough, you know, to stop you and put you where he wanted you to be. Because we've seen Pat and you. You guys came to our church a couple of times and everything.
Yeah.
And it was just, you guys are just beautiful. We've been to a lot of your plays, and he's always been at the front door. He was first. He's the first person after he's built the stage. And God knew that you guys would be a great team together.
Yeah.
And a light to a lot of people.
Right. And I know that God did it because I wouldn't have gone. And I got to be honest. You know, I never would
mm-hmm.
have gone back. I never would have. But he knew I was going to need him when I was very, very sick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He knew.
Mm-hmm.
See, I had no idea. I thought, hey, you know, I don't know why God did this, but 'cause I wasn't very nice about it. And I got to be honest, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But
you weren't very nice when you came back, you mean, or what?
No, when I came back, I was quieter.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much mouth. I was quieter, and I was more observant. And by that,
mm-hmm.
you will, when you read my book, you'll see what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things I won't say because I want you guys to read my book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But you came back with a new attitude.
Oh, yeah. I came back with a new attitude because, I mean, I don't care what anybody say. I heard God's voice. I heard him tell me.
Right.
So, and then when I was sick, I was real sick. They were giving me all this medication, and I could hardly raise my head off the pillow. And, I mean, I was very, very sick, and they had told me I had 3 months to live. So one night I was really not feeling well, and I had asked my husband, because by then my legs, I couldn't walk. So I said to my husband, I got ready to get up to go to the bathroom, and my husband we were laying in bed, and he was watching TV with me. And I got up to go to the bathroom, but my legs buckled under me. So
mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, Pat, I can't walk to the bathroom. I need you to take me. So he took me to the bathroom. I came back from the bathroom, and by then, Pat had turned TV off, so I was laying in bed, and I was just amazed that all of a sudden I couldn't walk, but the doctor told me that would happen because of the cancer in my bone. So,
okay.
Yeah, I had cancer in my bones. I still do, they say, but, you know, God knows. But anyway, so he had told me that would happen. So when it happened, Pat took me to the bathroom, and I came back, and Pat could go to sleep like five seconds, he'd be asleep. So he was sleeping,
mm-hmm.
I was laying there. And the Lord said, Daz, he said, because I have, Pat made me a shoe rack in my room, and that shoe rack had a lot of my shoes. I was a shoe fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
And God spoke to me, and he said, Daz, and he said, look at all those shoes. He said, and not a one of them can heal you. And I was like, he said, they can do nothing for you. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
okay, Lord, why are you telling me that? So I cried, and then I fell asleep. And I got up. After I fell asleep, I got up, and I walked to the bathroom. But see, I couldn't walk before. And I walked to the bathroom, and I came back, and I sat on the bed, and I said, I just walked to the bathroom. So I did. I mean, it was that shocking. And I said to Pat, he was asleep. I said, Pat, I woke him up. He said, huh? I said,
I just walked to the bathroom. He said, you did? I said, yeah. He said, praise the Lord. I said, yes, praise the Lord. And you know what? Since that happened and since God told me about them shoes, I think since that happened, I have only bought maybe 3 pair of shoes. And I was a shoe fanatic. I had shoes that, you know, I just loved buying shoes with my outfit. So
that's just like God to take care of 2 things at once. I said that's just like the Lord to take care of more than one, you know, 2 things at once.
Yes. Yes. But I tell you, it's amazing. It is wonderful. It is astounding how God has been in my life. I wouldn't trade it for all the money in the world, because God is, he is who he is. And I tell you, I wrote a message about God's power and our position and our purpose, and talked about the power which kills the old man and brings the new man to life. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of power that comes from Jesus Christ. And that's what I like. That is the absolute and perfect power. Hallelujah.
Yes, that's what we like.
Destroys it. That's a work that nobody, not a human being, can do. It's a work that God does.
God does it. He does it. And
he destroys the old man.
And, you know, many, many times we get to the point where we really think we have what people call religion. Now, we may have religion, but we don't have that Godness that we need.
Personal relationship.
Yes, we don't have that. See, all the time I love the Lord. You know, I have been hearing from God since I was 5 years old. But you know, I really didn't get to know him until I'd say 15-20 years ago. I didn't really get know Jesus until then. And that's what most people never get to do. And I'm so glad that God did not allow me to lay down and die without really knowing who he is.
Yes.
Because many people don't really know who God is.
That's true. They know the system.
They know,
They know the church.
Yes.
They know how to serve, you know,
when
you tell them to be there, but they don't really know the King of Kings. They got to have a personal relationship. And not a dead one. Not a dead one. You got to figure out he's alive for real.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Not a dead one, but a real, a living God we serve.
Yeah.
That's what I love about the Lord.
Yes. I tell you, God is something else. You know,
I love to hear when the Lord speaks to people. I really do.
Praise the Lord.
I love it because I know that God speaks and I know he talks.
Yes,
and
he does.
I know that he directs us, and he stops us, and he lets us go. He's the same with us like he was with the children of Israel with the fire and the cloud.
Amen. Amen.
Not
amen.
Stop. Yeah.
So I tell you guys, I'm just, you know, I'm full because when I look back and I see how God has kept me, and you know, because I was no angel, you know, I can't say I was even good, but God kept me. He has.
I don't think anybody should say that. I don't think any person should say that.
Say what?
Because that's like saying that they're good, because that's like saying you don't need a savior.
I know.
We all, you know, is no man that having sin.
No.
And, you know, a lot of people always measure their goodness, but we don't have any. He's our righteousness.
Yes, he
and,
is.
And we, if you got to know that. That's who keeps us straight.
Yes.
And that's what I like about what you're saying too, Daz, is that we have to really know him. When you really know him, you know goodness. You know goodness.
Yes.
You know perfection. You know the real, the reality.
Yes.
That's beautiful. I agree with you, Sister Tasila. I like it when people tell us that the Lord said something to them or the Lord talked to them. Because we are a witness. I've heard his voice. I know what
praise
I've
God.
Heard his voice. I've heard the
praise
sound.
God.
Yes.
I heard the sound of many waters myself. Except when
the
Lord
talked
to me. He spoke to me, but when he spoke to me, I could feel his voice in my bones for a whole week.
Oh,
I
tell me about it. Isn't that something?
The presence. I could still feel it. I could feel him. The entire week I would go to the store, do what I had, talk to people, and inside I was like, you guys don't know what happened to me.
Right,
when
and
God
you can't tell everybody.
You can't.
Yeah, because people think you're crazy.
Right.
Not that I
except
care.
When he speaks audibly. When he speaks audibly, they can say whatever they want. You know what you heard, and you know how it sounded.
Right.
So,
and it says his sheep recognize his voice, so you know when he's talking. You know his voice.
You do. He said, my children know my voice. Hallelujah.
Glory to the King.
Yes,
love it. I love it when God is made real, when he's made evident. And he's presented as, because he is right. He said, well, two or three are together. He's in our midst. So he's with us right now.
Yes, he is.
I love to make him visible. I love to introduce him to the world that he is a, you know, a real God, not a dead God.
Right.
Just
that's
on a
what
piece of paper.
they think he's dead. No. But you
and
know
that he doesn't see everything.
There you go. But you know, you guys, I don't know if I told you, but I had COVID before my husband. Did I tell you guys that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had COVID.
Yeah.
Well, I told Pastor T.
You mentioned it to me,
Yeah, I mentioned it to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I had COVID before my husband. I had it about 2 weeks before he did. Yeah. And when he got it, because our medical people were sending oxygen to us, and they sent the medication because my doctor, because I'm on hospice, my doctor made sure that I go and get a test, and my test came back positive. So he had a lot of the medicine sent to the house and also the oxygen. So I was on oxygen for 2 weeks before my husband got COVID. And when he got COVID, he stayed at home for almost 2 weeks, and then he went in the hospital. He stayed in the hospital for 2 weeks, but he was saying he could not breathe. And he kept telling them, I can't breathe. And so the doctor said, well, we can put you in, you know what kind of machine I'm talking about, that
ventilator.
Ventilator. And he said, that's what I want. Put me in the ventilator so I can breathe. But see, my husband, I don't think he knew that they had to give him medicine. Well, they had to shoot him up to make sure he couldn't move that much in the ventilator. So after about a week and a half, he started, his kidneys failed. And then they said he had a spot on his brain. And, and I think he heard them. My husband refused to be an invalid for anybody. He did never wanted to be an invalid. Oh, no. So I think he heard them, and I think he figured, hey, because they said if he had stayed, if he hadn't lived, he most likely would have had to be on dialysis, and they don't know what the spot on his brain was. They said it was a very dark, big dark spot on his brain. So it may have been, he may not have been able to talk or move or whatever. So he, then what he did is he, well, he, the third time that he, what's the word I want to use? You know what I'm trying to say. He died three times. And the third time, yes, they said they couldn't resuscitate him. They shouldn't, because the first time when they resuscitate you, you know, a lot of times they break bones, you know, trying to resuscitate you.
Yeah. They said it's traumatic.
Yeah. And then the second time, they resuscitated him, and the third time the doctor said, "We're not going to resuscitate him anymore. We're gonna have to let him go."
A lot of times they say that a lot of people shouldn't get on the ventilator.
That's what I was told. I was told that afterwards. Had I known? Had I known, see, here's the thing. My husband wanted to get on the ventilator because he did not like the idea that no matter how many breaths he tried to take, he couldn't breathe. And, yeah, that bothered him. Yeah, so he was like, oh, no. I can't breathe. I can't deal with this. My husband had never really been sick. Yeah, he had never really been sick. You know, he had pneumonia, I think, the year before, but they didn't put him in the hospital. He stayed at home. But that's as sick as he had ever been with pneumonia the year before.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sad about that.
Yeah, but it's the thing about it is that I know that God is, you know, I know God's got me, but the humanness in me is very, I miss my husband very much because my husband, he did everything. He did everything around this house but cook. He did not like to cook. But as long as I would cook, he mopped the floors. And I didn't let him wash because I didn't like the way he washed. But everything else, he would do it.
What a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you were blessed.
Yeah, I know. I was blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he
well,
would.
And God knows.
Hmm.
And now I'm going to ask if you will bless our listeners. We got about 3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted you to pray for our listeners. There could be some people out there that's been thinking about writing a book or writing plays or whatever. But if you could send out a prayer to our listeners.
All right. Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we lift you up, we magnify, Lord, we glorify you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. Lord, I'm asking your special blessing on this ministry. Lord, I ask that you raise it up to the height in which you would have it to go. Father, I thank you that you are God and nobody is like you. Nobody can do what you do. And, Lord, I just give you all honor, all glory. I ask your blessing on all of the listeners, those who are maybe going through something today. Lord, I ask that you bless them and keep them. And let your face shine upon them, and you give them peace, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you, and I thank you. Thank you for Pastor T-Mac and Sister T-Mac. Lord, I ask your special blessing on them and this ministry. Lord, I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And thank you, Daz.
And,
you know, we had a really blessed evening. Pastor Tasila, I love the prophecy that you read by Anna Mendez that she had in 2012. I had no idea what was going on in this hour in 2012.
No
idea. So thank you for that. And, Daz, thank you for being our guest. We really
praise
enjoyed
God.
You, and I'm sure all praise of our God. Listeners enjoyed you and was strengthened in the Lord and you giving us, all of us, a good example of how God has his hand on you, no matter what, through thick and thin,
praise
he has his
Lord.
Hand on you.
Praise
everybody,
Lord.
Remember, we're here every week. This is Christian Talk. Tell your friends, dial in, or click on our picture on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, wherever you see the post, just click on our picture and listen to the broadcast. We're here every week at 8 p.m. Pacific time, so check your time zone no matter where you are all over the world. This is Pastor T. Meyer McCain, Tasila McCain, and Pastor Daz Patterson. Going to say goodbye. Anything real quick, Sister Tasila, real quick.
Oh, I just want everybody to pray for Sister Daz all over the world that she'll complete the destiny God has planned out for her. And she'll finish all her books, all her plays, and healing power will be in her vessel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank Thank you. Amen.
And on that we say good night, everybody. God bless.
Good night.
Good night. Love you. God
bless
you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.